96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. 50 years ago, the hospital we know today as United Medical Center opened its doors. The hospital is still here through the turbulent 60s, the crack cocaine epidemic, and spike in violence D.C. saw during the 1980s and the 90s. The hospital has survived into the 21st century. But what are the challenges for the hospital and the community it serves? Well, we're talking about that tonight with United Medical Center's CEO, Andrew Davis, Jr. Lines are open. If you have a question or comment for Mr. Davis, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly comment on my Facebook fan page at facebook.com/HaroldFisherWHUR or follow me on Twitter at DailyDrumWHUR. Mr. Davis, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Harold.
Okay, 50 years. You've only been here for about a year. How does it feel when someone says to you, 50 years and you're sitting in the big chair? What does that mean for you?
Well, I'm very appreciative of being able to represent the hospital. And for a hospital to be in one location for 50 years says a lot about the commitment of the staff and the medical team and also the community and how they supported the hospital. So I'm very proud, although I haven't been here very long, but very proud to represent that.
You're not a native.
No, sir.
Where are you originally from?
I grew up in Bonifay, Florida, and it's in the Florida, Northwest Florida Panhandle, and went to college in Troy University in Troy, Alabama, and went there undergraduate for accounting, and also then did my master's level work there as well. And people in the studio can't tell, but I'm about 6'5", so I'm a former basketball player.
Yeah, you're very tall. No question about that.
So
yeah.
I went there to play basketball and then had the opportunity to get into the healthcare arena through an accounting firm in Pensacola. And then
also in the Panhandle.
Yeah, also in the Panhandle. Mm-hmm. And then began to went to work for a company called Health Management Associates that was in non-urban areas. Worked for them for almost 13 years in a series of different roles, from chief operating officer to CEO of two of his hospitals, and then had the opportunity to move to Boston, Massachusetts.
And that's where you came from before you came
yes.
here.
Yes, and Boston was interesting because the hospital was in a poor neighborhood as well in Dorchester, Massachusetts, and it was about turning around a hospital, and we were able to do that. And then I came here sometime in the summer of 2015.
Talk to me a little bit about that. East of the river, here in the District of Columbia, we're talking wards 7, ward 8, all kinds of challenges there, from food deserts to patients that aren't always insured. How did you deal, or how will you deal with some of those kinds of challenges that that are in this community?
Great question. The hospital is located on Southern Avenue in Ward 7 and Ward 8, and we service Ward 7 and Ward 8. The community obviously is what we call a safety net hospital zone, which has individuals that are disadvantaged. And what we see at our facility are people who come in who need healthcare services, and they need to be treated from a preventive medicine standpoint. Unfortunately, we usually see them in the emergency room. We have the third busiest emergency room in the District of Columbia. We see almost 60,000 visits a year. And we treat high blood pressure, diabetes. We have a large HIV population, and we're seeing a lot more help see. This year, I think we've seen more of the K2 usage in the emergency room. And so how we're trying to address that is to, I think, create access points.
What do you mean by that?
And when I say access points, when you look at a community like Ward 8 and Ward 7, the issue is that there are not enough primary care physicians to treat the population. And so we've been very aggressive over the last 6 or 7 months in trying to recruit primary care physicians, that's a family medicine physician or internal medicine physician, into the community to where people can ultimately start going to a primary care provider to discuss their health and discuss it in a way that is in the beginning stages as opposed to being reactionary.
Preventative as opposed to reactionary.
When you look at health disparities, and obviously with the our population being a minority population and the rates throughout the country, and you look at even in Ward 8, certainly in terms of infant mortality being behind, having one of the largest diabetic populations in the district, education from a healthcare perspective is vital, and it needs to be done with not only a physician but a team. And so we've been very committed going back to recruiting. We've also tried and began to start our community education series, which we're inviting the public in to listen to qualified healthcare providers discuss cardiac disease, heart disease, to discuss why it's important to take care of your kidney. The kidney controls your high blood pressure. And in the United States, we spend a tremendous amount of healthcare cost at the latter end of stages, particularly for patients that are diabetic or going through dialysis.
I want to talk to you a little bit more about that diabetic issue. It's a huge, huge issue, and not just longstanding, but there have been, you know, some issues obviously recently in the news with the passing of radio icon Doug Banks. He was known to have had issues with diabetes, but I want to make sure that our listeners have a chance to chime in on this at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking to United Medical Center CEO Andrew Davis Jr. Lines are open, 202-319-7810. You were talking about recruiting doctors. And, you know, last month you announced a layoff of some 112 people and trying to save $10 million. Why is that? And how do you recruit doctors when you have such a great need in the community when you're going through a restructuring issue like this?
Fantastic question. Healthcare has changed over the, particularly the last 6 to 8 years. And what I mean by that is that through the Accountable Care Act, patients have much more access to insurance. In the District of Columbia, 96% of the market now has an insurance product, and which is very good in terms of access. And a large part of the Affordable Care Act was to reduce costs, which was to prevent people from coming into the hospital. And so as our hospital has changed over the last decade or so, it was important for us to look at our expenses as it relates to our revenues. And so we had, we see 80% Medicare, Medicaid, see very little commercial business. And so like other hospitals throughout the country, we had to take a hard look at making sure that we were going to be able to survive for the next 50 years, which is what we want to do, and make sure that our costs lined up with that. And I believe that we have a restructuring plan to be able to turn the hospital around and be able to provide high quality service. And so the we have to get to a point where we can make a margin and be able to do that on our own. The hospital historically has received an operating subsidy from the District of Columbia, and we're trying to move to a platform where we don't have to do that.
I want to talk about a little bit more about that and your vision as it relates to that. I want to go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to Andrew Davis, Jr., the CEO of United Medical Center. Mike calling from Southeast. What's on your mind? Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Love the show. I just wanted to ask Mr. Davis, he mentioned that the hospital is like the third, has the third largest amount of they see patients in the ER. Why is it that they've cut so much staff there when there's such a great need? I mean, how can they afford to provide the same quality care and continue to let staff go?
Hey, Mike, thanks for calling in, and I appreciate it, and thanks for support in Southeast. It's a multifactorial situation. So we do see almost 60,000 individuals that come through the emergency room, and many of them now have a level of insurance. In the past, they had very little insurance, and the hospital had to absorb those costs. And so we have to continue to look at how we manage the hospital, but also provide high quality care. So one of the things that we've tried to do is reposition a lot of our nursing staff to put nurses close to the patients in terms of triage at an earlier point when they first walk through the door. We've tried to look at processes that can increase the efficiency in the core, as well as develop a fast track for patients to be able to go to for lower level acuity colds, sore throats and things of that nature where they can be seen. And so it is a challenge. It's going to be a challenge for us as we continue to restructure the hospital, but very committed to being able to do that and deliver quality service and increase the patient experience. One of my goals there is to make sure that we are continuing to address our patient experience when people come in, have a good experience, and then be able to go back out in the community and tell that story.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking to United Medical Center CEO Andrew Davis, Jr. Lines are open. Give me a call if you have a question or comment. Johnny, calling from Capitol Heights. Thanks for calling, Johnny. What's on your mind?
How you doing, guys?
Doing just fine.
Just a quick question. Have we ever thought about the idea of partnering with the school system and finding kids that have the aptitude or desire to be doctors early and give them, say, we'll pay for your schooling, but you have to come back and be within the community for, let's say, 6 years. And after that 6 years, you can opt out the program, but if you stay in the program and become a specialist, you still have to do another 6 years within inside the community.
Interesting. Mr. Davis?
Well, thank you, Johnny, for calling. We have tried to have some partnerships with some of the academic teaching facilities like Howard and the like. The hospital, we've just started the process of ensuring that it is an underserved market. And the issue there is by doing that, we'll be able to start recruiting doctors to that community to provide them loan repayment opportunities. The government provides certain zones the opportunity to recruit doctors, and a physician is able to have their loan forgiven. So we're trying to enroll in that process, and that will help us recruit doctors. Going to medical school, most physicians will come out with loans of almost $200,000.
Yes, a loan repayment or a loan forgiving program would be a boon, I'm quite sure, to a lot of physicians who people assume they make a whole lot of money right off the bat, but certainly paying those loans back or having those loans forgiven, I think that would be a good idea. Stay with us. I need to take a break. If you're on the line, that includes Cheryl from Capitol Heights. Stay with me. Stay on the line. Don't hang up. You will be able to hear the program. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation.